With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, we are joined now by Jake Jackman. You can, of course, find on Twitter at Jake Jackman with two N's. You can find his writings over at EPL Index, and this will be a Newcastle update. Jake, very glad to have you back on. Pretty much safe would be the general consensus, but we can get to that in a second. First, let's just talk about the fact that Newcastle United Football Club managed to win an away match.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? I think there's been a few supporters that have been a little bit twitchy about potentially being relegated. I thought that was still a long way off, even with recent results. I think it was the other clubs near the bottom that were picking up results rather than Cardiff, who are the one that you know, you have to be looking out for. But I always thought, you know, we needed one more win just to push us safe and just to stop any of the negativity building. And we got that with what was a classic Newcastle performance under Rafa Benitez. It was just very percentage football, keeping things tight at the back, making sure we didn't give up a lot, and then counter-attacking. And I thought that the way Leicester set up really allowed us to do that. We had a lot of time on the ball when we did get into their half. And I think that the way they set up with Justin Didi in central midfield sort of allowed us to push Rondon and Almiron into central areas. And we even saw Hayden get forward a little bit. And I thought it worked really well, even though Leicester, you know, perhaps have the better players and they were being talked about as having a lot of the game on Friday night. They didn't really create a lot, and I think we created a lot more in the first half. Getting that goal, we probably could have added another before half time, but it was professional performance. And I sort of have flashbacks to the away matches against Watford and Wolves this season, where we've taken that lead and not being able to hold on against Watford. I think we conceded it in sort of the 75th minute, around that sort of mark. Then obviously against Wolves, there was that late minute equaliser after a Dubravka error, which could have been called up as a foul, but wasn't. So had sort of flashbacks to those, but it seemed that we had learned from those lessons and we did manage to see this one through. Although Jamie Vardy had quite a good chance towards the end, but we did see it through. Got those 3 points, which pushed us to safety, really, with, you know, a few games to go. And everything's just turning towards the summer now. I think Benitez has spoken how he wants to finish strongly and get as high up the league table as he can, which is understandable. But as supporters, we're only concentrating on one thing, and that's what's going to be happening for next season, because there's many unanswered questions about that.
Yeah, we'll certainly touch on that at the back end. But like you said, you're feeling very confident of safety now with getting this away win, just to pretty much make sure that it's impossible that Cardiff could reach you.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're probably going to see us go over the 40-point mark as well before the end of the season. We've got Southampton at home, and we've got Fulham away on the last day. So, and I think we're Brighton away in the middle of that as well. So we've got some winnable games coming up as well. So I think we're going to pick up probably a couple more wins and really make it secure and finish the season on a high, which would be good.
Yeah, and obviously you're very good at home, so probably easy to picture picking up points there. For those that don't know, Newcastle currently 10 points up on Cardiff, who do have a game in hand, but like you say, it's probably a distance too far for them. In regards to the actual match, who would you say was your man of the match in that one against Leicester?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I think there's a few good players. Difficult to look beyond Ayoze Perez. I think obviously he scored the goal with some good movement and a good header, but I think his overall play was good. He was closing down well. Yeah, when he was on the ball in the final third, he was finding another Newcastle player, and he was playing the right balls, and he just looked a threat all game. And you look at what Almiron's done on the other side, which I know we're going to come on to talk about in a little bit, and I think they're both very dangerous players, but with Perez at the moment, you see he's got that little bit more experience in the Premier League, and he knows how to you know, cause problems for opposition defenders. Whereas Almiron, I think it's just trying a little bit too hard at the moment, which is why his end product isn't as great. Although you can say that he's in the build up, he's probably doing a little bit more than Perez. But that in that final ball, I wouldn't really want anybody else other than Rondon in the final third, you know, with a 1-on-1 chance or anything like that. Then Perez, I think he's quite reliable. And he always seems to get around that 10 goals a season, which is really quite impressive. And considering he was an investment for around £2 million, he's done really well. And he's still only 25, so he's still got quite a bright future ahead of him, whether that's at Newcastle or somewhere else. But he gets a lot of criticism. But I think he's proven his worth this season. And again, on Friday night, he was very good. Almiron as well was good, as I said. Rondon was very good in his hold up role, and Isaac Hayden again was very good in central midfield. So there's a lot of people to pick from, but yeah, I think Perez shades it for me.
Yeah, if Rondon had buried that free kick, maybe then it tilts his direction a little bit. But let's stick with the big Venezuelan up front, because we were talking just before we hit record that his technique probably doesn't get enough credit in his game, just because he is a big physical presence with a decent finish on him, but really he's pretty technical as well, and that's something that's obviously benefited Newcastle this year. Unfortunately, kind of sounding like you might not be wanting to retain him due to Ashley viewing him as a kind of decreasing value at this stage in his career. What's your view on Rondon and his potential remaining tenure at Newcastle?
It's going to be an interesting one to follow, because I think it could go either way at this point. And this week there's been more sort of reports of Mike Ashley still being open to selling the club. And I think now, is if he's ever going to do it, he's got to do it at the end of a season. And it has to, you know, there's got to be movement quickly if he's going to do that. Because the moment we get into a Premier League season, there's the doubts, you know, come forward about whether we're going to remain in there and the value attached to being a Premier League club. So it is sort of this period where it's obvious we're going to be a Premier League club for another season, that there needs to be movement on that. And I think that could impact Rondon. But then, you know, you got the Benitez question. I think that's tied closely into Rondon's future. I think if Benitez stays at the football club, I think Rondon will sign. I think that would probably be part of the convincing him to stay if Ashley does remain as the owner. I think Benitez will probably make that an ironclad thing that he wants to sign Rondon on a permanent. So I think that will probably happen in that instance. And another thing that's worth remembering about Rondon is West Brom, who is currently owned, obviously going into the playoffs and the Championship, they've got a chance of going up. But if they don't, they've got a Newcastle player there doing very well at the moment, Dwight Gayle. He scored a lot of goals, got a hat-trick at the weekend. So it's not like we're going into negotiations with a club where we have to pay all cash. There's that player that we can offer up. So that does make me a little bit more confident if we can get something done. Because I'm even though the wages might be quite big, if there's not much of a transfer outlay on Rondon, I think Ashley could probably be convinced, especially if it's, you know, helps convince Benitez to stay, because I think that's the main thing Ashley wants. If he's not going to sell the club, he wants Benitez as manager, because he knows that as long as we have him, we're not going to fall out of the league. And although Benitez wants bigger things, and I'm sure there'll be bigger things talked about when these discussions take place, I think the Rondon thing is quite an easy one to do if we're going to try and keep everybody at the football club, which ultimately is what everybody needs to be trying to do at this point, because you know, Rondon or Rafa even, both would be massive blows, I think.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, and not to make you have to talk about this literally every time you come on, so we'll just kind of do like a 1 to 10 scale. 1 to 10 that Mike Ashley is still the owner of Newcastle next season?
I'll say 8, but that's just because we've been here before, and it's just becoming tiresome getting confident that he's going to leave, so I think a solid 8.
Fair, and then Benitez?
5.
And Rondon?
I think those two are tied.
I think
it's either both or neither of them, to be honest. So it will be interesting to see how that one goes.
Fair enough. All right, we won't make you delve into those waters fully again. A couple weeks back, while I was doing a live text commentary for the Newcastle match, Lejeune went down with another knee injury. It was confirmed to be a cruciate ligament again. That'll keep him out a very long time. So hopefully he can recover fully again. And get back to his best, because he was playing well up until then. Of course, anytime there's an injury, though, that does open up an opportunity for other players. Who do you think benefits from it, and do you think we could see a tactical change maybe away from the back three?
Yeah, it's a shame to see Lejeune go out. Obviously, you said that he's done very well recently, and he had done. I think he did come back from his previous injury quite quickly. I think it was surprising how quickly he did get back, and whether that's had an impact on suffering a recurrence of it is unknown, but I wouldn't be surprised if it did. Obviously, we need to concentrate on him getting him back fully fit now, and I'm sure he will do. I think it's bad luck to get two of these injuries, and I think it would be extremely unlucky for it to keep happening. It's quite an unusual injury, so I think hopefully he just gets back fit, because we are a better team with him on the pitch. But like you say, it does open up opportunities for others, and centre back is somewhere where we're stocked quite well, really. So it's there are worse injuries we could have suffered in terms of how it will impact us as a team. I don't think we'll move away from the formation. It's working quite well, and we've seen Paul Dummett come in previously a left back, but I think the majority of Newcastle fans have always thought he'd go to a centre back role. He's well suited to it. Is the defensive side of his game has always been the better for him than going forward. So it does take that pressure off him to move forward with the ball, which I think suits him. And obviously, when you go back to being a centre-back, you still have to be quite good on the ball. But as he was previously a full-back, his skills are better suited to being a ball-playing centre-back rather than a full-back. I'm not saying he's as good as Fabian Schär or Florian Lejeune with the ball, more than playing that role, and I think he showed that against Leicester. Yeah, he played very well. Obviously, we've got Fernandes as well, who at the season was probably our best defender. Got unlucky with an injury and hasn't really had a look in since because of the form of Lejeune and Schär and Lascelles. So I'm sure he might get an opportunity before the end of the season and heading into next year as well. I think he's a viable option at centre-back. So I don't think it's the worst injury. We've got a couple of players capable of coming in. But if we do keep Rafa and we carry on with this formation, I'm sure that he'll be looking at bringing another centre-back in during the summer just to add depth. Because if you've got three centre-back positions, you really do need five or six fit centre-backs to carry out the squad duties there, because obviously a couple of injuries can change a whole formation, and that could bring problems. So I think it's important we have enough cover there. But it's sad for Lejeune. It was a massive blow. Feel sorry for him. Obviously, two big injuries in a short amount of time. It's you wouldn't wish that on any footballer. But I think it's, you know, he's got the whole summer to recover. Hopefully, he'll be back playing before the end of the year if all goes to plan. So yeah, I'm sure he'll be back, and in the meantime, we do have two players capable of coming in and doing okay. So I don't think there'll be a formation change.
Yeah, a player that has definitely benefited from you playing a back three has been Matt Ritchie, who has done very well in his weird left wing back role, considering people that recall him from his attacking midfielder and wing days in Bournemouth, their first year up. He leads you in almost every creative category. How has he managed that level of attacking input while technically playing in defense?
I think the playing three at the back does help him, because it does give him the opportunity to go forward. And I think where Almiron plays ahead of him, he quite likes to go across the front line, and he's not always in that left wing role, which does leave the space open for Richie. But he's got, you know, tremendous work rate. He's very good at getting up and down the pitch. And when he was a winger, he always, you know, did well at the back, and he always contributed to the team there. So I think he's just got that. It does suit in the left wing back role, because there's less impetus on him being the focal creative force, and to beat is the opposition full back. He doesn't need to do that anymore, and instead he can let Almiron do the running, and he can, you know, pick up the loose balls and create the crossing option. And obviously with Rondon as our centre forward, that works really well, because the more balls we get into the box, it does cause problems, even if they don't lead to goals. They create opportunities, corners, set pieces. They're all things that we win because of Marich's delivery. So he can focus on staying back and putting those balls in, which it suits him to a T. And we've seen him really come on over the last 4 or 5 months now in that role. So I think at his age, he probably needed to make a switch from wing, and it's just sort of worked out quite well that he's taken up the left wing back role. And it does sort of give me hope that it's so uncertain when Newcastle, I can't say with any confidence it's going to happen in the future, but it does give me hope that we can carry on with this formation, and Matt Ritchie can have another 12 to 18 months in the Premier League at least, because he is getting towards, I think, the end of his Premier League career, but I think this is going to prolong it if he can carry on in this role, in this formation, because it does suit him.
Yeah, and you mentioned Almiron up front, which kind of opens up both how he's been doing and Bareka at the back. They were your two January signings, and in our transfer window recap, we gave Newcastle very high grades. I think I gave them an A because I viewed them as two of your biggest weaknesses, were a creative threat and a new left back, Richie obviously filling the role of the previous, which we mentioned. But here in the States, there are some people already questioning Almiron because he hasn't managed to score a goal yet, and is starting this whole, are MLS players good enough for the next level? How have you viewed his performances for Newcastle thus far? Is it just that he hasn't been fortunate enough in front of goal, or do you think there might be more of a transitional period than expected?
I think there's always going to be a transitional period coming from the MLS to the Premier League. I don't think that should be a surprise, but what I will say on Almiron, he's made us a better team, and the reason we've picked up a lot of these wins in the second half of the season is because of what he has offered. Winning free kicks and giving us a real drive to go forward, and what we just spoke about, Richie, he's come on a lot since Almiron has come in, so there's been a lot of positives. I think with Almiron, you can see the danger he poses, and you can see the impact he's having on matches. It's just a case of a player trying so hard to get that first goal, and I think we've seen that in the last couple of games. Some of the shots have been a little bit forced, and he's snatching at chances a little bit. But I think with Almiron, it is a case that once one goes in, I think we're going to see a steady stream of goals. And I think it's going to be next season rather than this that we're going to see him really come on. But I think that's to be expected. But I would say it's interesting that's been that sort of the coverage in the States, because here I hear on Sky, Jamie Carragher often speaks well about Almiron, saying how he thinks he's a very talented player and how he's had a massive impact on Newcastle. And other pundits have said similar about him. So it's normally the English pundits sort of go talking down about other leagues, but in this case, they seem to be quite behind Almiron and see his value. So I think it's going to get better for him, and I'm sure. I think we'll probably have one big performance before the end of the season from him. I'd be surprised if he doesn't score before the end of this season, but if he doesn't, it's not the end of the world. He's added a lot to the team, and I think we'll see the best of him next year in the following years. So it's definitely a transitional period, but I think that was to be expected for any player transitioning in leagues, especially from the MLS to the Premier League. It's not a road that has been well travelled in that direction anyway. So I think he's going to be a success. I just think we've got to be patient with him. And I think it's partly to do with him as well, just getting mentally right and seeing there's no need to snatch at chances. And I think once he gets that first goal, it's a cliche, but once he gets that first one, I think there'll be more to come. And that can only be a positive. So yeah, I'm positive on Almiron, and I think he's going to turn out to be a very good signing. I already think he's been a good signing, but I think that, yeah, there's a lot more to come from him, and I wouldn't worry about him flopping based on what I've seen so far.
Yeah, I think the reason why there's been a little bit of, as you say, kind of negative coverage here versus positive there is a lot of people used Almiron as a point that the MLS is now good enough that their players can go to a league as big as the Premier League. And so the fact that he hasn't set the world alight statistically hurts that point. So I think they kind of built him up a little too much before he moved and are now reading a little too early on any negatives. And I think that's why that's gone that way. I think we mentioned the other one in January. Bareka came in at left back, hasn't really gotten a whiff at the team, and he's on loan. So he could just leave at the end of the season. Was that a failed transfer in your mind, or do you think maybe it knocked Richie on a bit? Just what did you make of that one at the time, and why do you think he's not really getting a look?
I didn't really think it was a good signing at the time. I wasn't too impressed with him at Monaco. His attitude wasn't great there from what I've heard. So I wasn't surprised that it's gone a similar way from at Newcastle. But I think it got to the point with us in the transfer window where we were just trying to get anything done. And it just seemed that was a good deal for us. I think Jordan Lukaku was our main left-back target, and that didn't go through after he failed a medical. So I think it was just a backup, and sometimes these things go well and sometimes they don't. And in this case, it hasn't gone well, but we're not going to lose a lot from it. We've had an extra bit of cover in the squad. We haven't needed it, but it's been there. And it might have had an impact on Richie. I'm not so sure. It might have done, but... I think it was just a gamble that we were just getting somebody in that position to add cover. If he'd have got given a chance, he might have done really well. But obviously, it's not been going well on the training ground. So it's just what happens when you rush around late in the window trying to get men in. You do get occasionally a bad player that doesn't offer a lot. But as you said, it's a loan, so we don't really lose from it. We'll move on in the summer, and I'm sure that position will probably be targeted again.
Fair enough. All right, well, we will wrap things up there. Positive signs for Newcastle on the whole. Safety all but assured, as we discussed earlier. Jake, tell the folks where they can find you.
Yeah, you can get me on Twitter at Jake Jack with two N's. I write for EPL Index, and I feature on the Championship show as well on this channel, so check that one out.
Cool. Thanks again for joining us, Jake. Best of luck to you for the rest of the season. Hopefully you can keep off, and I'm sure we'll speak soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.